Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I think Storm Eunice has blown a few people away. It's not mad out there. See, to be fair, I had one of those moments of going, I wonder if I could do this broadcast from my bedroom this morning. And for those of you who are wondering, Adam and I don't, we don't phone each other in the morning to go, what are you wearing? Are you going for the black jeans, denim shirt combo today? All I'm going to say is one of us wears it much better than the other. But I'll let you guys decide, all right? Give yourself a shake this morning. Do you know what? Come on, give yourself a shake and say, I am ready to receive the word this morning. It's going to be a good morning. Amen? Yes? Some of you need to shake a little bit more and go, right, Lord, I am ready. Because what I've been, have you been enjoying this series so far? Okay, well, I have anyway. I've preached myself into a good place with it because I just want to encourage you this morning. We're going to look at a bit of the story in the life of our Joseph. And our Joseph, what is that? That sounds so Belfast, doesn't it? By the way, if you're watching online this morning, what about you? It is great to have you with us here in sunny Belfast. Actually, it's really miserable here, isn't it? It kind of matches my mood, the weather. Just joking. I love what we're going to talk about today. It gives us hope. Do you need some hope this morning? Yeah? Anyone need encouragement this morning? Well, you're in for a good one. It says in Ephesians 5:5-17, this is Paul talking to us. He says, look carefully then how you walk. I've said this every week. And the reason why I use some verses at the start to set the scene is because you never learn something just by hearing it once. Do you get that? It's by repetition. Faith comes by hearing, continually putting ourselves in the place where we hear the word of God. And faith builds. It's not like there's sometimes an impartation of faith, for absolutely sure. But the faith that we live and we walk by is something that that comes from hearing the word and letting the Spirit of the Lord bring that word to our hearts. And he says here, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So he's actually saying you've got a choice. You know, here's the thing this morning. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaches us to say no to ungodliness. You have a choice this morning whether or not you want to live as the unwise or the wise. Now, thank goodness for Jesus and for his work, because he's already said, whenever you choose me, whenever you choose my purpose, then you have the full weight of my finished work, not just coming behind you, but in you, and I will help you to choose my way, the Lord says, right? But he says, make a choice. Making best use of your time. I find this, we've had some birthdays this week, and I'm not going to put any big spotlight in those, Tilly and Jordan, but make sure you say... Make sure you say happy birthday. Hard to believe, 36. You know what I mean? 36. Doesn't look a day over it. And the thing is, you know, but I think as I get older, like here we are, and it's I was surprised to see that it was the 20th of February today. There was anyone else? I was going, no, hold on. I was watching Jules Holland on New Year's Eve, like about 5 minutes ago. Anybody? And then all of a sudden, it's like the 20th of February. And I went, who took February? You know, our son, our big son is 18 this week, would you believe? Woohoo! Congratulations, Benjamin. And he'll be 18 on Tuesday. And you kind of go, time goes really fast, doesn't it? As I get older, I realize time goes quicker. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like when I get to my 40s, how fast things are going to go. But see, right now, like my 30s are hurtling past me, I say. And absolutely shocking. But so actually what he says is, Don't be dozy. Make good choices and make most of the time that you have been given. Why? Because these days that we're living in are evil. He goes on to say, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I said to you that I honestly believe that this year, the will of the Lord for you is to grow in influence. Influence means the ability to cause something to be changed. And I believe that God is accelerating that in your life this year. I believe that he's accelerating it in you so it goes through you to touch the people around you. Because that is the purpose that God has for you. Do not reduce this wonderful gospel of grace to just me and me. Because when you do that, you miss the point entirely. In fact, you'll never be transformed by grace if it stops with you. Because that's not reflecting why Jesus came. And what I've been saying is this is the central purpose of your life. The central purpose of your life is like what motivates you? What's the aims? What gets you up in the morning? Because to bring influence, it's not that there's something necessarily just in you, all right? something in you which is about you. It's about Jesus in you. And whenever Jesus went anywhere, people were changed and lives were changed. Do you get that? He walked into a room and people were healed. He walked into a place and blind eyes were opened. He walked into dead people and they came to life. The Jesus that we have worshipped this morning is a God of transformation. Do you get that? Taking things from one state and transforming them through his work into something that reflects his heart for you and for the people around you. And I understand, look, like I say, I didn't come down in the last shower of rain, right, which you were 2 seconds ago in Belfast right now, you know, but I understand life is not dead easy all the time. I get that. I'm not glossing over that in any way. But what I do understand is this, and I'm going to talk about it today because there's something in this story we're going to look at in Genesis 39, where actually with Joseph, you know, he goes, like, despite the fact that life is really tough, there was something imparted in him and put in him from a very early age that was clearly about my life is not just my own, my life is for a greater purpose. And if you find yourself going round in circles, never satisfied, kind of, bleh, you know, meh. You know what I mean by that? So, do you know what I mean? Like, meh, nothing ever happy. Just not feeling like, meh. I'm going to suggest to you the problem's not God's. The problem is purpose. Because just because you are under favor does not mean you have found your purpose. That's what I said last week. Favor and purpose are two different things. You are favored, why? For purpose. That's the point. The favor of God rests on your life so that you might know him, enjoy him, be healed by him, be supplied by him, to have. But that's not where it stops. That's selfish, okay? Once you receive favor, what the Lord says in Exodus 9:16 is, for this purpose I've raised you up. I've created you on purpose, he says, for purpose, so that to show you my power, and everyone goes, amen, I need your power in my life. I need your breakthrough in my life. And we all say, fantastic. And then he goes on to say, so that my name may be proclaimed. Folks, we've got to just let the Spirit of the Lord put this into our hearts. Because that's the sweet spot for 2022. It's as I receive, I receive this favor, and the favor in my life flows through me because that's what God has built me for. He has made me to receive his favor, to flow in his favor. I'm created for purpose. Yeah. And if you don't do that, you're going to be miserable. Bottom line. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So I said last week, dream a big dream. I don't know what you've done this week. Did you just go, yeah? Be wise. Don't make silly choices, right? Did you just go, yeah, Lord, I want to dream a big dream, but somehow you're just going to do it, all right? Because I said imagination. The Lord's given you imagination. It links to faith. He gives you pictures, right? And favor's not the same as purpose. I've already said that. But, you know, you'll not see it with your physical eyes. You'll see it in the eyes of your heart first. But trust God that if you think about what that looks like for you and what God is calling you for, to dream a big dream and go back and listen to my talk last week, because that's what it was all about. So let's go quick. Is that good so far? Now, I don't particularly care what age you are this morning or, you know, because Joseph was a young guy in this story, and some people might go, huh? You know, it's fine for the youngsters. I see that generation. I remember all that. Under 25, stand up. If you're 25 one day, God has finished with you. Remember? I grew up in churches like that. Guest speaker after guest speaker. I just see the generation. That was fine when you were 23 and slimmer, looking like Adam, for goodness sake. You know what I mean? I still think I wear this better, man. I'm just going to say. But do you realize I've got the slightly more rotund older man's version going on? His is actually tight around him, all right? But the camera puts on a few pounds, that's all I'm saying. But I remember those days, isn't it? It's like, it's the generation, and I'm going, I'm past it, clearly. No, you're not. Even though Joseph, we can take Joseph's story no matter where we are in our stage of life. So my first big point this morning is this, is the presence of Jesus is your success. The presence of Jesus is your success. Let's read Genesis 39, 1-6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites. and had taken it, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. There's loads of stuff about Ishmaelites thrown into the pit. Big pictures of Jesus, okay, being rejected by his brothers, sold for pieces of silver, all that kind of stuff, right? What I want to do actually today is not so much give you an exegesis and a talk on what everything means as it relates to Jesus, but to give you the sense of it. So more preaching than teaching. Is that okay? Just so we understand. Because you go, don't gloss over the really cool stuff. The really cool stuff is there, but I want to give you the big picture. That's why I'm going to go over some of that. The Lord was with Joseph. Listen to this. You're going to see in chapter 39 where the Lord starts and where the Lord ends. And everything in between is held in the tension of this statement. Because where the Lord starts here, all right, is where he's going to finish up. And so what it means is you have to see everything in your life, beginning and end, through the lens of that statement. All right, and that's what will happen towards the end. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him an overseer of his house. And all that he did, all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. This is what we're talking about, right? You know, do you honestly believe when you walk into somewhere, you bring the presence of Jesus with you and things are changed around you? People are blessed because they get to work with you or deal with you or whatever. Lift your head up and dream a big dream this year. Because the blessing of the Lord was in all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. So basically, in this house, everything was taken care of by the guy who's highly favored and blessed. And they didn't have to worry. Now, listen to, write this down, put it in your head. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, right? The word success here literally has the connotation in Hebrew of breaking out and breaking forth. And so what it means is that life and blessing, like, kind of mightily came out of him because God was with him. That's what the word successful means. It means the life of God bursting out of you. It doesn't necessarily mean you have all the stuff, all right? The worldly definition of success is houses, cars, money in the bank, position and work, that kind of stuff. When the Lord looks at success, he sees it entirely different. It starts, begins, and ends with the life of God, the Spirit of the Lord in you coming out of you. That's where success starts. So let me deal with something first. There was an interesting conversation we had in the coffee lounge last week with the great prophet Lawrence there. And he was asking me a question, and he said, was Joseph not just a bit of a prat? That's a good question, isn't it? Like, because we have all been told, haven't we, that, you know, Joseph was so immature that all of his situation, like if he had never opened his big mouth and been such a big mouth, then none of this would have happened. True, haven't we all heard that? Okay, so I had my own answer to that, but I went away and researched it a wee bit more this week because there's a thought here that, well, if he hadn't been so stupid, then he wouldn't have had to walk through all this stuff. Now, let me read you a verse from Numbers, not about Joseph, it's about Moses. Numbers 12:3 says this, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." Do you know who wrote that verse? Moses wrote it. You'd be going, "Wise up, Moses." If he was in Belfast, we'd be going, "Here, your man's a prayer wire about himself, doesn't he? Look at him, Mr. Humble. Here he comes. The humble king." I can imagine it. See, if it was in a church, he'd be singing the servant king and all around him. "From him you came, here he comes." You know what I mean? We're like that. Isn't that what would happen? Moses wrote it. Do you know what the central problem in the text that we're looking at? It was the brother's sinful response to circumstances that they didn't like. That was the issue, not the fact that Joseph shared what God had put in his heart. As far as the narrative is actually concerned, Joseph was neither arrogant nor naive in telling the dreams to his brothers. He was right to do it. I actually read a guy called James Montgomery Boyce this week. He's a really famous expositor. And he said that there is a case for Joseph's naivety, and it is probably pretty plausible, all right? But it's much, and I wrote this down, so it really struck me. He said it's much more likely that Joseph, and I quote, "sensed a God-given responsibility to make a divine revelation such as this known." He felt, it's like God put it in him, and he felt the responsibility to go, God has put a dream in my heart. And do you know in Genesis chapter 50, when we get right to the end of this whole thing, there will be no doubt in our minds as the readers or in his family who he saves, right, that it was God from beginning to end. What I'm trying to say to you is this: if God's put something in your heart, don't be ashamed of it. Don't think that, you know, people are going to go, oh, look at your cut of your woman here. Here she comes again. Forget that. That is a plan of the enemy to reduce your expectation, your belief that God is with you and what he can do in you, down to the level of people's cynicism and sin. Because the issue was not the fact that he brought it. Because I'll tell you what, I think that the biblical principle is this. Moses was the most humble man. The best thing that you can base your life on and share with people is what God put in your heart. Do you get that? Because it's not about you. We want to be left in no doubt this year that it's about what God did in you and through you. So we can all point when we say, remember Mark O'Brien said this, and God did it. And we'll go, well, it definitely wasn't Mark, to be fair. But it was God in him. And then we can celebrate what God has done and what God is building. Do you understand that? So I think it, anyway, that was my point. My point is, I don't think it was naivety. I think it was a case of our problem is, and even in our Northern Ireland cynical mindset, we don't like people who talk about things that are just a wee bit bigger than what we can even see. Isn't that right? We are a country full of cynics. Let's be honest about it. But cynicism does not sit well with faith. They are not good bedfellows. Cynicism is the enemy of faith in your life. The enemy of faith in you, in what God is doing in you and what God is doing around you. Let's be aware of it. You know, I often describe it like if you were having advertising for like a job in a shop, like a wee Saturday, like somebody, wee fella to come in the Saturday, you put it up in the window, you go, clever boy wanted, but in brackets, but not that clever. You know what I mean? Let's just keep everything, you know, do you get me? That's such a part of who we are in this part of the world. We don't like it. We like to keep people down. We like to keep people at a level. And that's why we find it difficult, all right? We find it difficult here. If you can hear we're in the hood here, by the way, if you're watching online. It's all kicking off out in the streets. We like to keep people down to level. Let me tell you something. God said dream a big dream this year. But watch the cynicism that sits in your heart, because it was the brother's sinful response to the dream that God put in his heart. Do you get that? I think we need to be careful of that. Anyway, back to Joseph. Thank you for that, Lawrence, last week. It got me down a rabbit hole of some stuff. So here's Joseph. He's rejected by his own family. He's hated by his own brothers to the point where they want to murder him. In fact, they don't even murder him. So do you know what's worse? I think it's really insulting. They sell him and make money off him. Flip, all right? So it wasn't even like, we'll let him go. Well, we're not going to kill him, but let's just get a couple of quid off him. He's stripped naked. He's sold as a slave. That wasn't like, you know, an Amazon delivery. They were put in the public domain, stripped naked, poked and prodded so that the buyers could see what they were buying. Publicly humiliated, right? Now as a slave in a place that in a foreign country with people he doesn't know. And there is no way of describing anything about Joseph's situation as good. No, there's nothing good about it. It's everything. This is just a wee fella who said, God's put a dream in my heart. And what does the Lord say? What does the Lord say when he looks at that? When he looks at that wee fella? He says, success. And we go, are you crazy? And the Lord goes, that's success. Why? Because no matter where you are, if I am with you, and the Lord has promised us under grace, he will never leave us, never forsake us. As far as the east is from the west, okay, we can't escape his presence. And if I am with you, our hearts need to be recalibrated to the point where we go, no matter what is going on around me, I am a successful man or woman. Why? Because Jesus is with me. Some of us have become so preoccupied with outcomes. We're living in Never Never Land. One day my ship will come in, Lord, and I have this dream that it's all going to be fantastic at some point. And then when we don't see it happen to our time scale or when we want it to happen, what happens is we get frustrated with God. We get disappointed. We start to dumb down and become cynical. Instead of saying, today as I get up, as God has put breath in my body, I am not waiting for success. The Lord says, you are a success. Now go from that place and walk the process that I am leading you through, and you will see many good days. You see, the world evaluates by circumstance, whereas the Lord evaluates by presence. Do you get that? The world evaluates by what's going on around us. The Lord evaluates by who is living in you. And if he is in you, you are already declared successful. Now, let me tell you why that matters. You might say, well, what about this, Andrew? You've no clue. What about that? What about the other? And what we're called to do this year is to look again through the lens of the finished work of grace, as I'd said a couple of weeks ago. And you will not see it with your physical eyes. Do you get that? Stop waiting to see it in 4K in front of you. If the Lord put it in you, there is not hell nor high water is going to stand against the word of God. I said that in week one. Your outcome is secure, but you will walk the process of seeing favor. And it's not you walk a process and then you're favored. It's you are walking in favor every day, and your big success is built on 100 little successes along the way. But many of us rob ourselves of the joy of communion with the Lord, the joy of communion and enjoyment of what the Lord's doing, because we are so preoccupied with the final result. Do you get that? You will see it. Not because I'm telling you so, because he said so. If he put that dream in your heart and he said to you that you would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, then already you're successful. He's working right now, right? Look at it through grace. Let your mind and your imagination start to see it through that lens of grace. Paint that picture deeply. Let it sit in your heart. And from that place, say, Lord, your grace works well for me. He's working right now in the very fabric of your life, in the people that you need him to work in the situations that you need. As you are sitting here, as you're listening online, in your businesses, in every sphere, he is working. Do you hear that? And as he's working, he's not working for your success, he's working because he's put success in you. Success, remember, as I defined it, the life of God bursting out of you, coming forth out of you. Let me read verses 3-6. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and he made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of the house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had to do, basically, except eat, right? And that's all he had to worry about. I guess I don't want to labor this point too much because I want to get on to something else. But what I do want to say to you is this. See the dream that God has for you, what you would like to see, all right? Joseph found, now listen to me really carefully. Joseph found glimpses, like he had the dream in his heart that one day the sheaves would bow down. So his family and friends, they're gonna bow at his feet. Okay? Now, he finds himself in a place a million miles away from what that looks like. But there were echoes and types and already starting to happen. You see, if you want to win the big battles, win the small ones. Because what the Lord was putting in Joseph's heart was that he would be in a position that would influence the whole nation and would save his family. So what happened, he couldn't walk into that role, right? As the person in charge of the whole country. God moved him and positioned him into a place where he got to start with it. You get that? Here you're in somebody's house. Will you serve someone, right? Will you serve someone that you never chose? Will you use the gift that God has put in you in a situation where you never, you know, he didn't want to be? That's the issue. Do you get that? Can I talk real straight with you? See, so many Christians live in like a lottery mentality. Going, one day I know I'm going to do this. And the Lord says, what have I put right in front of you? And trusting that you will see success. You see, the thing is like, it's like David, before he fought Goliath, he fought the lion and the bear. He didn't just wander out one day into the valley and take on the giant that had paralyzed the whole nation of Israel. He learned to see God with the lion and the bear, and then he fought Goliath. Do you get that? Some of us just want a short circuit. We can't do it because you grow in the process. You experience grace in the process. You experience success in the process. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on in another week, but it's to go, don't despise right? Don't despise what God has put in you and just go, well, I'll wait until it looks brilliant. Where has God put, what family has God put you in? What church has he put you in? Use what God has put in you, right? Because every single day is preparation for sure, but it's also blessing every single time. Now, let me go quickly. I guess the point here is people notice presence, don't they? Like Potiphar here in his house, he noticed something different about Joseph. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Some of us have lost confidence in the fact that the presence of grace and the presence of Jesus in us, actually people take notice. Do you get that? Because we've become so used to it. We've become so used to Jesus in us. Jesus every day. I pray. I speak in tongues. I worship. I do all that. But see, people who don't know, when they experience truth, you see, everyone's created in the image of God. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to seek out truth. What is the truth? And what we need to do this year is go, Lord, I'm going to trust that people can feel and touch the grace of Jesus in me, no matter where I go. Do you get that? Because some of us have lost our confidence in the fact that grace changes things. And if you are there today, what I want to say is you need to recalibrate and go, I'm successful today. Why? Because Jesus is with me. His grace is with me. But the next time this week you have the opportunity to walk into somewhere and to be light, take it. Why? Because Potiphar noticed. He couldn't help but notice. I think what that just told me as I was reading this week was, you know, where's our confidence in the grace of Jesus, really? Have we lost it? Because if we become too preoccupied with ourselves and what we don't have, and we've forgotten that we were made on purpose for purpose to see the world and your world transformed by God's grace, if we've lost that, then, you know, we don't believe, truthfully, that things will change whenever we walk into the room. I think, you know, there's no substitute, none at all, in anyone's life other than encountering the grace of Jesus through you. And if we don't believe that, then God help the world, truthfully. If we really don't get that, because quite frankly, the church is not enough fun for me, for just a club, week in, week out. I want to see people's lives changed. I want to see people saved. I want to see people who are dying today with cancer healed. I want to see people who have severe mental health issues coming to find their freedom in Jesus. Amen? I want to see broken families restored, kids to their parents, kids to their grandparents, to their aunts, to their uncles. I'm not going to be able to do that, but the presence of Jesus in me is definitely going to do it. Like, give me that for a purpose. Let's not have lost confidence, because the very simple point of this story is this, is that people notice presence. People notice presence. To summarize those verses, if you just look at this overall, that's why I'm not teaching it line by line, is that when you have the favor of God in your life, it will cause you to be promoted into places where God will put you so that you can show his grace to people. That's exactly what happened with Joseph. Expect to be, because favor brings promotion. It moves you into the place of influence. So stop worrying about your strategy. Stop worrying about your Insta feed. Stop worrying about cultivating a persona, all right? Start to live from the inside out with his work in you, and you will see more things change around you this year, because, you know, I honestly believe that like his presence brings success. I can see it no other way than what I read there. Is that okay? Can I tell you what I feel like when I preach this stuff? Can I just be really honest? Sometimes I feel like week after week, we put this stuff out and I go, I wonder what really happens. I'm just going to be vulnerable with you for a minute to go, listen, you can listen to a million brilliant sermons, but grasp what the Lord is trying to say right now, what the rhema word for you is. Because my fear is that people go, aye, dead on. And I know some people do that and that's okay. And I've done it at times, listen to brilliant preaching and go, huh. But I really sense right now that there's something that the Lord is trying to break through in this place and break through in your life. So let's not just be consumers who go, yeah, it was fine. and say, Lord, are you speaking to me about those things in my life that really need to be changed? The whole thing of Potiphar's wife's an interesting one, isn't it? Boy, she was a scarlet woman, this one, wasn't she? If you don't know the story, basically, she tries to get our Joseph into her clutches. Dun, 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 right? And she tries, and she tries, and she tries. Right? Now, lots has been written about that. If you don't know the story, basically, she tries to sleep with him multiple times. But our Joseph doesn't go for it. Now, I don't want to do an exegesis again on this, but I want to give you a sense of the big point. Because the sense I got, and you can look at the Word of God many different ways, right? And the sense I got when I was looking at it this week was about this. This really is about walking after the Spirit or walking after the flesh. That's the difference, okay? And I said a few weeks ago I wanted to talk about this. Walking after the flesh, what happens here is that whenever God puts something in your heart and he says, dream a dream again for your family, for your grandchildren, whatever, okay? Look at what I'm going to do in you. There is a point along the journey when things don't look like what you think they should look like, where you will be tempted to move independently of what God is doing. Do you understand that? Because we get we see the picture, and then at times when it's not working out the way that we think, what we do is we take it into our own hands, and we work what the Bible calls in the flesh. Right? Walking after the flesh, okay, the word is sarx in the New Testament, is what you do when you attempt to get your needs met independently of God. That's what it is. It's leaning on your own understanding, relying on your own strength, drawing from your own resources. Now, people who don't know Jesus do this regularly because they've nothing else, but actually believers do it all the time. You know, in either case, Romans 8:13 tells us that the results are disastrous, right? If you live solely on the basis of, say, your own willpower, as an example, or your own understanding, Romans tells us that you actually sow death into your relationships, into your ministry, into your finances, and even your health. This is what Proverbs 14:12 means. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, some of you biblical scholars are going to say to me, but hold on, in the book of Romans, Andrew, it also says that, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Now listen, because this is a wee bit technical, but it'll really help you. There's a difference in Scripture between being in the flesh and walking after the flesh. Do you get that? We were in the flesh, Romans 7:5, I believe, says that, right? Now, what's he referring to? He's referring to your state before you were saved. Before you encountered Jesus, you were in the flesh, right? But now we're in the Spirit. Does that understand? Does everyone follow me? Right. That's what Romans 8:9 says. But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Now, we are not in the Spirit because of the way that we walk. Do you understand? The way that we live our lives. Because John 6:6 tells us that flesh can't give birth to Spirit. They're separate. Right. So just because you walk a particular way, you live your life a particular way, doesn't make you holy. Everyone goes, thank God for that, right? That's not what it means. But what it does mean is this, that even though we are in the Spirit, we are born again, grace-filled, Holy Spirit-filled believers, you can still walk after the flesh. Even though you're in Christ, you can act as though you are still in Adam. Does that make sense? That's why in Ephesians 5, he says, make a choice. Be wise, make a choice. Because we still have the ability to choose that which seems to be meeting our needs most quickly. Am I making sense to you? I kind of think the whole thing with Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, everyone will go for the, sexual sin and run away from it. Yeah, I get that, all right? And that's a really important message. But the bigger message underneath it, whether it's sexual sin or anything else, is this need to find your needs met in anything else other than what God is doing. That's the point. So even I've said to you that just because you have received grace, we can act incredibly selfishly even though we're in grace. Do you get that? And what's worse is we can justify it by saying we're under grace. So I don't really feel like serving. I don't feel like giving. You know, if it's just a wee bit of a hassle for me, I will frame my church experience through the lens of whether or not it suits me or not. That is Christian people born again in the Spirit acting in the flesh. Do you get that? And when you act after the flesh, the book of Romans tells you, it's always a disaster. Always a disaster. It might seem right to you, Proverbs 14 says, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, I think what happens with Joseph is, this is why it's so important to get a purpose in your heart from God, a dream in your heart from God, a picture of what you are called for from God. Because what that does is when you're in a place where it doesn't look like it's working out, when it seems so much smaller than the bigness that God has put in you, all right? In those moments, I believe that part of the thing with Joseph, why he was able to walk through to the consummation, if you like, of the dream that God put in was, had put in him was because he knew that in those moments, that even though it was put on a plate for him and his flesh would have gone, thank you very much, this is fantastic, all right? He knew that what God had put in him was bigger, was stronger, and it kept him, all right, with his heart towards the Lord. It kept him with his heart focused on a bigger purpose other than the temporary meeting of his needs in that point. Do you get that? Why the Bible says if you don't have a vision, you'll perish. If you don't have something in your life from God which goes, this is my dream, then you need it for your today and you'll need it for your tomorrow. Because if you don't have, don't be surprised if the flesh runs riot with you. Don't be surprised if you find that you are essentially, you know, I'm a believer, I've listened to more Joseph Princeton or Andrew Tugut or Josh McCauley or Creflo Dollar than the next man, but I'm still not. Right? Don't be surprised by that, because what you have to understand and what we need to understand is this, is the flesh never gives up. It never gives up. And part of the thing that will help you to overcome is a big view of what God has called you for. When you measure the temporary satisfaction of something that will ultimately lead to death, compare it to the riches of glory that God has called you for, put the two together and tell me which one you're going to choose. Tell me which one it is. That's making the choice to live wisely, according to Ephesians 5. And I think with Joseph, that's what it was about. I think it's a spiritual battle, you see. It's not flesh and blood. I think in that whole thing, what I just see in that whole interaction between Potiphar and his missus, and then she completely chucks him under the bus, tells lies about him and all the other stuff, which I want to talk about now, as even as she does that, something in Joseph's heart, he has that dream in his heart. He just goes, fuck. Now, is that making sense? Folks, what I'm going to say to you is, see, this year, after the how you'll know you walk after the flesh and what that looks like is, it's not condemnation. Even under grace, we need to understand this, right? Sometimes what we do is we go, if anything makes me feel, yeah, right, then that's not the Lord. Now, I don't mean condemned. I don't mean that. But I know in myself, like what Paul says in Romans 7, when I know the good that I should do and I don't do it, right? There's something in me goes, yeah. Do you get that? No, I'm still loved. I'm still completely covered by grace. I'm not judged in any way for that failure. But I know in me that I'm made for something more. I'm built for something more. Do you get that? Does anyone understand that, or is that just me?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of go, and very quickly I go, in the moments of your failure, declare your righteousness, okay? At the moment where you mess it up, declare that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, because that's the truth. What you do does not change who you are and doesn't define who you are. But I know for me, I go, I get it. Like, God, you've put your power within me. You give me the ability to choose. You put these incredible dreams and future in me. Why would I choose this? Because I'm just buying into a short-term need, and I'm acting independently of God. Joseph didn't act independently of God. He knew he was successful because God was with him. Is this all right? Okay, let me just finish this. I need to finish. It's flipping roasting in here, isn't it? Is that just me?
Lovely.
It's lovely, isn't it? I'm roasted, but that's probably because I'm preaching. How am I doing, Adam? Oh, doing okay? Brilliant. I guess what I want to say, just to finish off today, is that, you know, you're Mrs. Potiphar here, right? The wifey. I want to encourage you that people, you know, can have an impact, all right? It's this thing called human agency. People get to make choices. And people can make choices that will hurt you. People will make choices that will cause you pain. That's the mess of sin. That's just the way that it is, right? But people, you know, you might even feel like people will continue to hinder God's plan for your life. Because I bet you Joseph thought, oh, you are here, you are winding me up. My brothers, my family screwed me over. I get into a place and I start to be prospered and blessed. Why? Keep my head down, do what God's asked me to do. And he blesses the work of my hands. And then you're a woman here, all right? Through no fault of my own, because I did the right thing, I found myself going backwards. Has anyone ever felt that? Oh, come on. Yeah. Lord, I did what you asked me to do. I stepped up, started a church. And have a look. You ever felt like you've been penalized for doing the right thing, folks? Let me tell you something. People may hinder God's plan for your life, but there is no one ever can stop what God has put in your heart. They can't stop it no matter how hard they try. Study the life of Moses, Ruth, Job, and you'll be so encouraged. No one can nullify the dream of God when he places it in your heart. Even, you know, what I would say is this. Like, human agency is interesting for me. This thing of free will. People can make choices, like I've said. Now, it's interesting. What does the flesh say whenever people make choices that hurt you? Or you do, what does the flesh say? The flesh goes, that's not fair. The flesh makes you a victim. The flesh goes, this is terrible. The flesh goes, this is awful. Poor old me, poor old me, poor old me. That's what happens. But I did the right thing and look what happened. Flip's sake. That's just the flesh. And that's all that that is. But what we see here with Joseph is he felt disappointed of that, I'm sure, because he wasn't a robot. But he didn't allow his disappointment to derail his destiny. He didn't allow that to happen. The same pattern happens again, all right? He's wronged. He did nothing to justify or deserve what he got. But he doesn't get bitter. He doesn't play the pity card. He doesn't become the victim again. He must have had a million questions. And the same pattern happens again. He finds himself in a place. This time it's from the house to the prison, right? And as he's in the prison, the same dream is still in his heart. It hasn't changed. And what happens? God is working. God is working. God is working. God is working. God hasn't stopped. God hasn't forgotten him. Why? Because when he has his favor, then wherever you find yourself, you'll see the outworking of that dream coming to pass, even though it looks small and it's not the bigness that you've seen so far, but he never stops working it out. Do you get that? So in one way, it looks like he goes backwards, and actually what happens is he's actually being promoted. So just let me say this to finish. Verse 23 is where we're going to finish today. He says, so he goes to the prison, and he starts to be blessed, multiplied, favored. And the Lord says this. It's just like the Lord wanting us to see this beginning and end. It's like the Lord wanting to show you. The Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So that's where the Lord started in Genesis 39, and that's where he finishes. The Lord is with you. That makes you successful, and what you do will prosper. The question I have for you today is, do we believe that for ourselves? What are we going to do with the word that God's given you today? In the light of everything that we walk through and in the light of all the things that all of us have had to deal with, I don't know what your response is. Do you go, Lord, yeah, it sounds great, but really, the 25 years of what I've just walked through would say something different. All I can do is encourage you today to go, whenever I look at the word anywhere, I never see anyone that God put his hand on. And under grace, he's got his hand on all of you. He's called you for purpose. I've never seen anyone in the Bible be in a place where God was not working it out for good, ever. You get me someone in the word, if you can do it, here. Newsflash, you can't. It's not there. No matter where the Lord has you, remember that he is working it out. But if you have his presence today in you, the Spirit of the Lord, you are successful. The flesh will tell you you're not. The flesh will come against you. tell you to act independently. Will tell you that your short-term feelings are what matters most. So you can't be bothered to get out of bed, or you can't be bothered to do this, or I'm not going to serve because whatever. Give and wise up. Short-term. You buy yourself 5 minutes peace, and then you go, I kind of know there's more to me than this. I was called for more than this. I believe that the influence that's going to grow in your life this year is by the heart change and the head change that goes, no matter what is going on around me, I am successful because I have his presence. Because when it comes to the Lord, his presence is your success. Amen? Close your eyes with me for a moment. Can I have a communion thingy? Can we have some tracks there, please? Just take a moment, even if you're online, and we're going to take communion one moment, but just close your eyes, okay? And for some of us, just even this morning listening, you would probably judge yourselves as being anything but successful. It would be, I'm the antithesis, the opposite of success. I'm a bit of a mess on the inside, and stuff on the outside, maybe not brilliant either. Or maybe you're not like that, and you just go, but I know that there's something more for me. The Spirit of the Lord says to you today that he's created you and made you to enjoy him forever, but also that you would see his purpose for you come to fruition. You'd see it in fullness. Because you're an influencer, you're called for influence. What the Lord has put in you and done in you will change the lives of the ones you love the most. It'll bring light into dark places. It'll bring healing into sickness. It'll bring hope where there's despair. It'll bring hope in a future where there's people have given up. It'll bring a peace that the world can never bring. It'll give a security and a safety that the world is so desperately longing for. And I just feel the Lord, that the thing that the Lord wants to drop into your heart today is this. Don't look around you and allow what's going on around you to define whether or not you're successful and prospered. Because success, remember, in Hebrew, the word is the life of God breaking out of you, coming forth. It's like what Jesus described. It's linked to what Jesus described in John. Streams of living water from the inside. The world will live from the outside in. Whatever goes on in the around us determines how we do and who we are. But the gospel of the grace of Jesus and his work starts from your inside and works out. And so I speak over all of you today and speak the Lord's blessing and life over you. I speak today that you are highly favored. You are successful. You have the life of God and the call of God over your life today. You are safe and you're secure under the shadow of his wings. Because of what Jesus has done for you, no matter what scheme is formed against you or your family, it will not prosper. The Lord is leading you from grace to grace and from glory to glory. The past is gone. It is not coming back. Your failure has been nailed to the cross and has been removed from you. Your sin is counted against you no more. That makes you successful. Everything that is Jesus's, that he did, is yours today. As the Lord looks at Jesus, his son, today, and looks at his work, that's given to you as a free gift. That's the gift of righteousness. It means that God is not angry with you. He's not upset with you. He's not disappointed with you. God is not counting anything against you. But he looks at you today through that lens and he says, as my son is, so are you. Now go. It's almost like, you know, time and time again when Jesus healed, when he restored, when he lifted up, he said to people, now go in the light of what I have done, what I've said over you, because you are blessed. And so I speak that over you today. A shift in your heart, a shift in your thinking, a shift in your perspective, a shift in what's been going on around you. What the enemy has been trying to steal from you, we just say no more. and we declare a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God himself over every life in this place and everybody online. A fresh anointing, Jesus, fresh vision, fresh heart, fresh hope, fresh joy in Jesus' name. Enough to the slumber and the tiredness, the spiritual apathy. We say, Jesus, thank you. We make a choice today to let our hearts declare that we are prosperous and successful because we have the presence of Jesus himself in us. And all God's people said, amen. So, Father, we take the bread this morning and we say, thank you, Father, for your body broken for us. Father, thank you that we are whole and healed this morning. So if you're sick this morning, just what I want you to do is just as we eat, just say, you know, whatever that condition is, just say, you know, whether it's, you know, anxiety, whether it's knee pain, whether it's stomach issues, we just curse you in Jesus' name, and I receive health and wholeness through the work of Jesus. Amen. And Father, we thank you for the cup this morning. Father, we thank you that this morning we get to drink, Lord, and your blood has broken every curse over us, has broken every lie over us, has broken every bit of condemnation over us in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we drink this morning and we thank you for your righteousness. We thank you, Father, that it's a gift. We thank you, Father, that it is a wonderful, wonderful truth to know this morning that because of your blood poured out, we have nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of, nothing to try to work out ourselves. But Jesus, we thank you that we are loved completely, accepted completely in Jesus' name.